The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, January 6th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, I'm going to continue a conversation that I started about a week ago. But this, I'm going to deviate a bit and have a theme for this particular show. The theme for this particular show today is because I have a guest sitting into the studio, and I'm going to be going back and forth with him. With his thesis, right? But the theme of today is, I'm going to put the question out there, is the Bahamas a real place? I'm going to pause. Dramatic pause. That's a dramatic pause there. Because there's a number of young people who find themselves challenged, find the Bahamas challenged, find our whole situation of how we live challenging and say, man, this place can't be a real place. It's like a disgust. It's a frustration. And every time they speak, they complain and complain and they conclude, this ain't no real place because any tomfoolery could happen here. Nothing works here. And I'd be going back and forth, rowing with these type of people saying, of course, this is a real place, right? And they make a case, right? Be heavy and thick like molasses. And I said, man, why are you all so negative, man? Negative Nancy. This is a good place to live. And they start talking about corruption. And they start talking about things that doesn't work and fall down. And nobody could be happy here. And that we need to get better. And mind you, there's a need for us to improve, you know. I'm not saying that. But how they describe the Bahamas, they describe the Bahamas as a failed state. And I said, this Bahamas is not a failed state. I know what failed state is, right? I see Haiti down there. That's a failed state. We far from that. And not just far like a mile. I talk about thousands of leagues away from that. I've seen places in Africa. I've seen places in the Middle East that Yemen, where they had bombs and the whole place flattened. No hospital. No police. No running water, no electricity. The place just flattened. This Bahamas can't be a failed state and by extension not a real place. We thrive in here. People want to come here. People are coming here. I've met people who say this is the safest country they've ever stayed in. Let me repeat that part. This, the Bahamas, is the safest country. Expats are saying that. White people saying that this Bahamas is the safest country they've ever stayed in. They've happened to live in 20, 30 odd countries doing business, right? High-end business. And they said, man, this is paradise. So my guest today will be Donardo Misik, who has lived as an expat. He was here last week. He has lived as an expat in several countries. And mostly the last 10 years or thereabouts, was in Turks and Caicos dealing with high-end clientele. And he has returned home. He has returned home to the Bahamas, doing well here, right? Happened to be living west. You know, people, working-class people like me live east. You know, when you say you live west, that's a different type of living. And we're going to be talking about that too. West versus east, and then the place in between in New Providence, right? And I want to have a conversation about, is the same thesis, the Bahamas is not a real place. Is that accurate when Bahamians say, man, nothing here works? This is not a good place to live? The Bahamas is full of corruption? I believe we had a prime minister said that the Bahamas is full of corruption. I think we did have a prime minister who went internationally and said that. And I'm trying to challenge my guest today, Donardo Misik, whether he believes that too. Or with his clientele that he now services, out west, where he lives out west, right? Whether he sees things differently than us people who live out east. And say, man, you see all those big boats parked by Montague and they ain't paying no tax? This can't be a real place. And they moored and paying the government tax. They just living there privately, willy-nilly. Something got to be wrong. But without further ado, let me introduce my guest, Donardo Missick. Welcome again, man.
Good morning. Good morning again. Thank you for having me back. Good morning, Bahamas. And I want to jump right into that conversation, Cecil. The question I asked myself recently, so we deal about, I think, 3 million some odd tourists over the last year. 2024, our GDP of the nation was the highest it's ever been in the history of our country.
So what again did we say?
The highest it's ever been in the history of our nation.
Our GDP now?
Our GDP in 2024. I don't know what it's going to be, what the numbers are going to be for 2025, but in 2024, we broke a record. Wasn't really talked about that much. When I saw the data on it, I was shocked myself. I was like, wow, we doing those kind of numbers? It doesn't seem like anybody has been discussing this at all. Hear a lot of doom and gloom, hear a lot about the Bahamas is not a real place. But I want to turn my conversation to what I saw. So I'm employed for a construction company in the Lyford Key area, Bahamian-owned construction company called Sigma Developers. We're building three homes in Lyford Key, all in one yard, eight-digit. I don't want to give out the exact number, but several multi-million-dollar buildings that we're constructing right now. Interior designer, Bahamian. Architect, Bahamian. I think about 95% of the contractors or subcontractors on the project, Bahamian. The lunch ladies that frequent the Lyford Key area, Bahamian, Jamaican. There's about $150 million just from my estimates of what I see, $150 million worth of work going on in Lyford Key just for the other homes and developments that are going on, just in Lyford Key itself. Usually in the evening time when I go home, there are kids going through their sailing classes in the marina, heading out into the open ocean. And so when I hear the phrase that the Bahamas is not a real place, it seems to me that there are other people that are coming here. And I use Lyford Key as a reference point, but there are several gated communities in that area, in the western area of Nassau, that I don't think that everybody else sees this way. It seems that there's a segment of the population that thinks it's not a real place, and there's another segment of the population that is coming here, moving here, bringing their kids here, putting their kids in school here, that sees this as a very real place. And there must be some kind of opportunity here that makes them come to this destination, that makes people visit this destination, to come to Bahama, to come to the Atlantis, to come spend time out on Junkanoo Beach having some Kong fritters with toes in the sand. The other night, there was a guest out there with the fire pits on, having Kong fritters and glasses of wine, spending money at Bahamian establishments. There's something here that the vision is off. And where a segment of the population doesn't believe this is a real place, but then there's another segment that's coming here every year after year after year after year that believes this is a real place.
There's something attractive about the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Alluring about the Bahamas that is gravitating people with real money.
Real.
To say that of all the places they could live, because they could pick and choose wherever they want to live, something about the Bahamas that they said, I'm going to live there. Because it's better than the other places. But I'm not going to stop there. They now bring their children.
Their children. We see the proliferation of schools in the West. We see the King's College. We see the Windsor. We see the Lyford Key School. We see this happening and not understanding that these expats are moving not just here to work anymore. They're coming here for a Bahamian way of life. They want to have that group on Sunday just like me and you. They want to go to Junkanoo just like me and you. They want to partake in the culture. Just behind us, there's Barabbas Junkanoo Museum, which is experiencing an influx of tourists that is going there. You know, the kids from Lyford Key School that are now winning junior Junkanoo parades are going there to partake and experience our culture. There's something sexy about our culture. And I don't know if every Bahamian understands that we're actually the sexy girl in the region and everybody wants us. But do we feel that way about ourselves? That's the question I'm asking.
Do we feel that way about ourselves?
Are we really that attractive? Because there are people who say, man, I want me in Barbados to be near me and Motley. Right? They don't rank, they don't rate our prime minister. Right? They don't rate our living and our lifestyle. They said, oh, there's other places in this region who far superior. But then when you think about migration, immigration, there's a lot of people from the Caribbean coming here.
And my view, I might be biased because I've been away from home for such a long time. And I think being away from home, you have an appreciation for your country and your culture. When you're immersed in another person's culture and you have an appreciation. I've been fortunate enough to travel to Bermuda, you know, Turks and Caicos, to London, and to contrast and compare what we have here, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. Do we have challenges? Yes, we do have challenges. But overall, we're still the sexy girl inside this region. And maybe some of us have low self-esteem. And when a beautiful, attractive woman has low self-esteem, she sometimes does very careless stuff. But there's some of us that has very, very big, high self-esteem. And we have an optimistic view for our country. And I'm saying that has to change. That narrative has to change. We're doing some things correct. Yes, we have challenges. Yes, I see what's going on with PMH. Yes, we have traffic challenges. Yes, we have violence challenges. But we are doing some things right.
I have a friend who's an asset manager. I was going to say investment banker, but she manages a portfolio of, I guess, expats, whoever. And Bahamians too. I didn't know Bahamians had that type of money. Yeah, and she managed their affairs, right? She also dabbles in real estate. Her real estate, which she targets, is usually out west. And so she now frequents west, socialized west, even though she lives central and I live east. I'm now learning from her that west living is different from central Nassau and east living, right? I don't happen to frequent that, so I think that's a far drive, right? But there's no traffic out west. There's traffic out east, right? How come out west have so many restaurants, right? Whereas out east, we may have two to sit down and enjoy, right? And I want to know, what is the difference between what you've, since you do work out west, and in contrast to east?
The gravitation of money, see. So just to be blunt with it.
There's some money out west.
There's some money out there. Just yesterday, driving home, there's an electronic billboard just before the old Fort Bay Shopping Plaza. And on that billboard, there was an advertisement to send your kids to an international school at St. Andrews.
Mm.
And I thought to myself,
why St. Andrews West and St. Andrews out east?
St. Andrews is marketing to a Western community to drive their kids all the way to the
miles. East.
But they see the opportunities that is out there in the West. It's more spread out. Not exactly planned, but it's strategically being placed where, you know, the traffic flow is not that bad. The bigger thoroughfares, green spaces, gated communities with parks and green spaces.
They have a
bicycle path.
I didn't really see. They have a bicycle range where you ride bicycle on the side of the road.
Things for kids to do that were unheard of. They're rowing in Lake Cunningham. A relative of mine just received a scholarship in Massachusetts, a rowing scholarship, to attend a boarding school, which is going to propel him, hopefully, to maybe an Ivy League education. But these were things that were unheard of. That's all happening in the West for these kids. And I think it's fantastic. I'm almost envious that this didn't exist when I was a kid, you know, but there's a certain intrinsic value to the West, but there's also a lifestyle of a West lifestyle that I think Bahamians are graduating to, saying, this is what I want for me, this is what I want for my family, and this is what I want for our culture.
We have a caller now, but I want to know if, and mind you, I know I have black and white followers who listen to me, right? But I want to know if working class black Bahamians have access to that old West type living, right? Can we have that Bahamian dream? Can I have a picket fence or even a yard where I can plant some tomatoes too? Or that's a dream beyond me. Because again, the Bahamas is not a real place. That's for y'all foreigners and y'all expats and y'all Ivy League education to live. But us working class who live with these, we can't enjoy what you're saying. Let's go to this call and I can let you commiserate on that and so you can respond. Go ahead, caller. It's Guardian Radio AM. I'm trying to find out if the Bahamas is a real place or we's a failed nation. Go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I have also traveled and I've also seen how rich and poor live together. And you need to go to number 9, Gibbs Corner. I have taken photos and asked that gentleman for permission to photograph his house, that any human being should be living in something as derelict as that. He is old, he's blind. And while it is fine to laud the riches of life with Key, what is alarmingly visible is the difference between vegetation in life at Key and vegetation in Bainstown. The quality of the roads, the quality of the air, and so on. And so what happens in the Bahamas is that people come in here, love pristine. And so they buy up our beaches. The only thing the poor person has to keep him connected is the vision of the sea and breathing in oxygen from the trees. It's not happening for a large amount of our population. So it's good, and everybody wants to come because everybody does what they want. They build gated communities where you need a passport to go through, and they feel safe, and they are. Okay, but that's not the Bahamas. Our family islands are being neglected. People are living in conditions. Take a walk amongst Bahamians. The people wandering up in the street that are lost are Bahamians. You will not find that everywhere you go, okay? And there's one thing rich people love is being rich, and it happened in South Africa, happens everywhere where they go, where they take the best, and they live well, and their kids have the right thing. But what about the population? Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. Let me challenge you on that. The caller reminded us that there's a stark difference between, like I said, West and East and the real Bahamas. They're saying that there's a large population here in the Bahamas who are just poor, destitute. And I'm going to ask you the question, why is that? Is it a problem that is self-inflicted? Is it something that the government should be the ones to correct? Why is East Street dirty and Life at Key so clean?
And Carla, I just want to reiterate what I said. We do definitely have challenges. So I don't want to be... You know, I'd be remiss to try and play like that. That doesn't exist. I traverse in those areas also. You know, I'm not from the inner city. I didn't grow up in the Bainstown area, but you know, relatives and being in those areas, I know exactly what you speak about. So I don't want to downplay that and be put that on the back burner. I don't think there's one pinpoint problem to say this is the reason why. I think everybody's challenges are individualized. Some people, mental illness. Some people, just drug addiction within family. There are multiple different reasons why we end up in poverty. But the question of why our neighborhoods, the reason why our neighborhoods is not clean, that's I think that's individualistic. You know, your
house, so that's my problem?
Well, your house should be under your guidance to get that in order. You know, there's no reason why your house doesn't have to be clean. You know, you might not have the latest trinkets to put on your house, but there's no reason for your yard to be dirty. So, you know, when I see the garbage just strewn everywhere, just thrown everywhere, that doesn't necessarily reflect on your financial situation or why you can't pick up the garbage. And I think you get, over years of seeing it there, it just becomes commonplace. People just don't do it because they think that's their current situation and that's the way it always should be. You know, but what I've noticed is when they go to a higher-end neighborhood, they'll almost pick up after themselves because they recognize that this is not the way that I should do things here. But you have to carry that same energy to when you're from that neighborhood also. And there are several homes in those neighborhoods that don't look that way. You know, friends of mine, you know, grew up through the Fowler Street area, you know, rushing with the music makers. They always kept their homes, you know, Fowler Street was always pretty much kept in a pristine condition. People had a love and respect for that neighborhood. People had a love and respect for that corner, you know, fervently respect that corner. And they always kept their homes. It might not have, you know, large amounts of money, but they kept their homes and their yards pretty much clean.
Remember that clapboard house on Peter Street, P Peter Street and East Street, always immaculately clean. But I see we have a lot of calls. I'm going to include them right now. I love Mason Addition. I'm not sure if you traversed there recently.
Yes.
There are some of the most beautiful homes, historical homes, where I say, man, this is a gold mine for the Bahamas if you're able to market it. But the Mason Addition, many of the houses are weathered. I'm going to use that word, weathered, right? But it's a gold mine if someone is able to paint the houses, put some flowers there. But I'm going to ask you, whose job it is to do that? Even though we see that there are people who would love to come either do an Airbnb and live amongst Bahamians or traverse through there and go to the different shops, buy salty, whatever it is. But because the place is challenged, that ain't happening.
It's the mindset, Cecil. I do have lots of friends in Mason's Addition also. And one of the things recently I've noticed, not exactly in Mason's Addition, but every weekend I'm noticing tourists walking into Nassau Street, Infant View, Chippenham.
They're walking by themselves?
By themselves in the evening time with their kids. Some residents in those areas have understood and recognized the opportunities they have. Anything in old Nassau has huge real estate value. The tourists are not afraid to live in those areas.
They ain't afraid of East Street?
They ain't afraid. They want to partake in our culture. See, so I'm going to say this again. 80% of our tourists come from America. I think those are the numbers.
Hmm.
Because some of us are afraid of those areas does not mean that the guests who are coming are afraid. I'm seeing it every weekend. You can see people walking with their pizza boxes from in the Chippenham area, and they're staying in Airbnb. So some of those residents of those areas have understood the opportunity, and they're going after it. They're going after it with the Airbnbs. And not everybody has the funds to make that dream happen for them. But that's the spark of what other people see, the potential of what they can do. And is it the government's responsibility? No, but I do think it's the responsibility of the citizen to now advocate. If you're paying real property taxes, this is what I want my tax dollar to do. I need lighting in this area. I want the areas to be cleaned on a regular basis. That's what that real property tax, that's what your tax dollars is actually supposed to work for you.
I have some callers here. I'm going to bait you.
Go ahead.
Because I drive past your house. Because you live off Munnings.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't get no light. Y'all ain't get no light through Munnings.
None.
Munnings Road. And you live west.
I just reached there.
You won't get no light, though.
I ain't get no light.
You go through the dark. They don't treat you all dark.
Extra dark.
And the houses through there is like $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. But y'all ain't get no light.
None.
Who is your MP? Let's go to the caller. You need to find out who your MP is. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Newey. Good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Yeah, there's a compilation, and this topic is multifaceted. I born in the city, living in the city, and grew up out east, you know, Sunshine Park, Golden, et cetera. So I'm diversified socially, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it's amazing that we won't juxtapose the displacement of Bahamians with the conditions that we see in the city. You know, when I'm 61, so I'm older than UCA,
yep.
And so I remember when these yards and these homes around here were plush, and you know, people would always take pride in their homes, except that we could go from neighbor yard to neighbor yard. And now we see the deterioration of the in the city, but we won't juxtapose that with the proliferation of foreigners, right? So, and also the fact that the government, we have a ministry, so-called the Ministry of Environmental Health, right? And we see they would come and move cars here and there, but what about our ordinances? As you know, there's a place just to Father Callan, to the left. I passed it this morning because my little son goes to St. Barnabas, right? And, you know, what landlords are allowed to get away with, I mean, the amount of garbage, proliferation, I mean, the people don't give an ass because they're living in it. You know, we sit down and we talk, and these things are pretty much simple. You know, we see where how people live in other countries with garbage here, garbage there, garbage everywhere, but we accept it. What I'm saying is we need ordinances. We can't allow people to just do what they want, and then we can sit back and go, but how come it's like this? You know, I born in the city. So when I know the area and I watch, no one can give a pictograph. I mean, some if they older than me, but what I'm saying is I see it. But you don't juxtapose it with foreigners, And then you say, wait, we don't take pride because maybe they don't belong here and you haven't given them citizenship. And you're giving citizenship to those who just come. And so maybe the disenfranchised, but, you know, we are all naive in our thoughts and the way we think, you know. There's no ordinances. The Ministry of Environment have a job to do. You know, we haven't even gotten rid of all of the outside toilets, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, this problem is not easy to solve, you know. We just need ordinances. We see mechanic shops with people, them equipment in the road. We see their cars, just people allowed to park on the side of the road and obstruct. Everything goes, man. You know, but you know, the imbeciles that run the country, they think they're doing a good job. And, you know, you're talking about how safe we are. The reason why, and the gentleman is correct, because hats off the schools. I've seen tourists traversing all the way in Mason's traditions, et cetera, and all down East Street. But you think they're not targeted unless somebody wants to rob them sporadically. But what I'm saying is, The ghetto youths have enemies, and something is causing this. But nobody seems concerned because our lives value nothing.
I appreciate you, 52, and I embrace everything you said. Thank you very much. Let's go to this next caller
here.
Very good call. Because I still want you to respond.
Yeah.
Because you live Munnings Road.
Yeah.
And that's what people say is upper, well, it's a middle class, upper middle class.
I say that's upper middle class, yeah.
But y'all ain't get no light.
None.
Anyway, none. Let's go, caller. I'm sorry. Guide and read AM.
Okay, I'm going to be very brief. I'm calling back because if there's one thing that upsets me deeply, is to categorize everybody in our ancestral villages. They're not ghettos. When I grew up in this country, it didn't matter where you live. Bahamians cleaned their yards. If they wore rides, their rides were clean. That is the story we need to remind them of, okay? And if you walk through Bankstown, there are people taking care of their yards. But they are confronted with mountains of garbage, mountains of people that have nothing to do with them. Because when Bahamians decided to abandon their ancestral villages, they didn't care of the effect it would have on the overall community. We are responsible for those people and those children growing up in rats and garbage. All right? And do not tell me it's better here where children play with rats and garbage while the rich live like the rich. They can live like the rich anywhere, except that they can do it freely here. They can live excluded here, and nobody's going to bother them.
I appreciate that call. Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guy in Rear AM.
Hey, good afternoon to your guest. Yeah, that's a good. I love that lady just now. But, hey, Mr. Nuri.
Okay.
The tourism product that, I mean, the Tourism Foundation was started. Really? I mean, the cultural part of the tourism products was really started over the hill, right? But these type of historical facts ain't being taught, right? But when the Bahamian people really owned the tourism product, right, it was actually over the hill. And then some guys came and they decided that, look, yo, we can buy this tourism product and we gonna own this, and they decide that the tourism product is now gonna be on bay and on the outskirts, right? And things like you don't go over the hill because the danger and rate was perpetrated decades ago, right? So and just like all of the colors state, the Bahamas, when growing up in the city, as a young place, I mean, you didn't even know you was poor because everything was clean and everything was in order, right? Today, you sure you are in poverty, or nobody have to tell you you're poor no more if you living in these in the city. Some of them, right? Because the area is despicable. And I mean, right now, not even in the city, it's all over New Providence, because I mean, my area I live in today is more dirtier than I have ever seen it. I mean, I don't know where people is finding garbage to throw on the side of the road every day. And the worst thing about that, it ain't apparent that nobody is cleaning it up. But the culture, the Bahamas need to be given back to the Bahamian people, right? Because the tourism product, people really come to a country to enjoy the culture of a people, but our culture has already been dumbed down to the point that all of the hotels and different international restaurants and all of those stuff, while all of those things are good, they should have never been allowed to suppress our peas and rice and Kong salad. Y'all have a nice day.
Thank you very much, Colin. What we need to be doing, Misik, what we need to be doing now to make sure the Commonwealth has been made common. Because you see the lady called twice, right? She's reminding us that something is happening to a certain set of Bahamians in this country. And I'm trying to find out how come there's abject poverty here and there's a stark difference right across the street. And let me even flesh it out more. Paradise Island and that bridge. When you go over the bridge onto the Paradise Island, you live in luxury. And when you come or about to come back over the bridge and you look down, there are people living underneath the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
There's a community living underneath that bridge.
The challenges.
Right? Yeah. And so much churches around, but we don't seem to be able to fix that problem. That problem seems to be proliferating. That's a growing problem. And mental illness is now perpetrating that community where any minute now, tragedy is going to strike.
Yes.
Because we're ignoring these problems. And I'm trying to say, whose job it is to see these problems and address these problems? Because the Bahamian people ain't watching.
You know, to reiterate what the lady caller, what she said, I 100% agree. You know, I thank you for the challenge, and I thank you for that phone call, you know, to bring some clarity and some bring everybody back down to earth. You know, I've been advocating to Cecil now for about a couple of weeks to try and see if we can get some of the PSs of some of the departments in the Bahamas on the show. The PSs pretty much run the operations, day-to-day operations of what's going on. You want to know their vision, what they're seeing, because they're traversing the streets, they're traversing the neighborhoods just like you and I. They see the garbage. They see the mentally ill underneath that bridge area every day, you know, and you're absolutely correct. You know, it's we're days, months, weeks away from some mentally ill person again, because it's happened a couple of times last year where mentally ill people just attacked because they're just out there. And I can honestly say I don't have a solution for what we're going to do with that situation. But it's something that everybody sees. We just can't say they're going to just sit in retirement park and they just going to be in retirement park. That's not good enough. Because parks and green spaces are places that where our cash cow, our tourism product, they want to visit these areas. So we just can't have tens of mentally challenged people just roaming the streets day in and day out every day. So I see that challenge. I do not have the solutions, but shows like yours is where the conversation can be started, you know, and a groundswell of we need to get this done. And the listening ears, especially in an election year, the listening ears could hear and see we need to fix this issue. You know, one of the things I wanted to speak about today was that the garbage that I saw on the side of the road, you know, in the last 2-3 weeks in my area, and as of the last 48 hours, somebody had started cleaning up the sides of the street. So I think shows like yours is necessary to invoke thought, to invoke concepts and ideas for people to get a groundswell of what we need to get done to positively affect the challenges what we have going on in the country.
Let's go to this caller, and I'm going to ask you a question about what we should be doing. But let's go to the caller first. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, you're live.
Hey, my nephew, and your guest.
Welcome again, Aunt Jackie.
Welcome. Thank you.
Recovering from the flu, but I'm good.
Yes, ma'am.
But great show. And your guest prior, they gave some great input. And you know, though, like your guest just said, your shows like that kind of sensitize everyone to open your eyes and see what's really happening around us. Open your ears and open your eyes and deal with the matter at hand. Reinforcement is a key factor. I still live in Grandstown, grew up in Grandstown. We still go back and visit, we drive through. We still want to be able to see clean environment. We don't want to see filth and garbage. Much is required of us. And those of us who may live out east and out west, I mean, come on. We all should be entitled to the same way of being able to live in a clean environment. But I'll give you an example of what happened to me, CA, in my family, Hempstead. I'll say Chippenham area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had some neighbors, and we're filling the garbage pile up. Okay, we, as neighbors, we kind of got together and tried to help and assist. We realized that we were dealing with a mental situation, but then we sought the help of family members who are living now in the West area. I said, come and help. Is this how your parents then would want your house to be looking, the yard to be looking? Come on, help us. It's not fair to us who still live at the family homestead nearby and the garbage and filth in the yard where you grew up and was born and raised and fill your family, then you can't help out. Come on, that's not fair to us. And all I have to say, Bahamians, let's do better. Minister of Environment and all government agencies, let's do better. We deserve better. Oh, and by the way, the persons who go and they sell all kind of clothes and food and furniture and everything's running into the road, the stove and the fridge, that's unacceptable. Not in this Bahamas. Unacceptable. Let's do better.
Thank you very much, Aunt Jackie. I appreciate it. I don't know what to say. But I still want to know who's responsible for cleaning up, who's responsible for making things equal, equitable. All right? Particularly when you compare the gated communities to the inner city, right? Especially when you traverse the road, you see there's a different quality of life, right? And there are people who say, man, this is the best country. They'll drive past the filth and say, but that's them. How we make it from all of us are doing our part, right? We're going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back and read some text. I'm going to do a more comparison of East and West living. People say this is one of the better countries to live in. There are a number of Bahamians in mind, but we feel in the pinch. There's a challenge here. I'm trying to say there's a disconnect. How do we connect and move forward? Guardian Radio AM, I'm speaking to Donardo Misick, who is my guest for today. We're talking about the Bahamas, and particularly New Providence, and the way it is. We'll be right back.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
But he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So out of the way.
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Welcome back to Guiding Radio AM. I'm going to the text line now just to read some of the texts. It says, the Bahamas is a real place, but vision is lacking from many leaders in every sector of our community. Their goal is to get more and more things and money, right? They say, this one here, text says, the Bahamas is a real place, but we have some persons and leaders who are struggling with themselves from growing up. They are trying to protect their positions and things. They need to know God to see the real life. Let's see what else I have here. Good morning, sir. This is one of the best places to live on earth. Please note, we have too many persons who have become very lazy for many reasons. They copy every idea or plans that other persons work hard to implement. They are unable to carry the idea to the end. Their minds are filled with, where that is. They're unable to carry the idea to the end. Their minds are filled with evil and are lazy copycats. In my area, Old East, they have a person. I'm assuming the person's own property there, who has created, what do you call those containers where they make a house, like an apartment? Container apartment. They have a container, and they put it on the main road. Of course, I made agitation and complaint, right? Saying, no, our community is a working class community, but we have a standard. When we first moved into it, they had talks about putting it as a gated community because they changed the description of it, right? But this container apartment type thing, to me, is diminishing the area, right? I said, if you want to live in my community, you need to invest in a house. Invest in an apartment proper. But of course, their behemoth said, no. There's a housing shortage and we're trying to provide housing for more people. And I said, no, man, that's diminishing us. This should be a standard. You put those things on East Street or some sort.
That's why shows like your show is so important. It's so important for the nation. You know, I would love we can get a permanent secretary of the planning or the director of the planning, town planning department on there to give some clarity of what do we want the future of the nation to look like. You know, and that's why some of the callers are, all of the callers are very important for the future of the culture and the culture of the nation to challenge, to put, give ideas, concepts of what it should be like to steer our culture. She was absolutely correct that we're leaving some behemoths behind. I've been thrusted in an opportunity where I've been able to help. You know, our company has been able to help. We've donated quite a few for the Christmas time, and everything's been happening so fast because we just received this contract in September. I've been extremely blessed. We've been able to help and go back and help some of our family members and donate to some of the young contractors who are actually doing stuff on Exuma where they're giving back to their community, some great young guys. And so I want to say to that caller, because she actually sparked something in me to look back into our communities and do not leave behind once we've thrusted into a little bit of change, like we like to say, you know. But the structure of our government, these permanent secretaries of our country need to be called in to give the vision of what they're seeing in the country.
Not the MP, the permanent secretary instead?
The MPs are important. We put fire on the MPs, but the permanent secretaries do not change. Regardless of who's in power, they're still there. And they usually get shuffled around. They're moving from undersecretary to permanent secretary just of different ministries throughout the remainder of their career. They are actually guiding the ship. The owner of the ship might be the minister, but the permanent secretary is the actual pilot of what's going on. We need them here to hear what's their vision, what they see. They see that garbage in these communities every day. They see the cars. They see the kids running around in this garbage. They see it just like me and you. So we need to hear what's their thoughts and their vision. A little bit of, we don't even know who most of them even are.
I'm going to try to get some permanent secretaries here. I've been calling, making some phone calls. We're going to this call right now, but let me read this before I practice call through. So your guest is a contractor of millions of dollars, million-dollar homes, and sounds extremely braggadocious and arrogant. There is a huge separation between rich and poor over here. We know we live in the land of milk and honey, but Bahamians are not enjoying it. Only foreigners. Have you seen any foreigner on the street begging because they had the luxury of living tax-free for years? Let's go to the caller. They see you braggadocious, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Guy on radio, AM.
Good morning to you, and good morning to your guest, Mr.
Good morning.
And, of course, entire Bahamas. I endorse their first caller, and she called back and elaborated even further. But just let me say this. You need to be able to organize yourselves in so many different ways to get things done. In 2018, I was living through Mildred Avenue, this is off Carmichael Road. The residents there was maybe about 7-8 houses. There were lamp poles there, but there were no lights. So I went to each one of them, and I asked them individually, I said, do you want light? They said, yes, sir. I said, well, this is what you need to do. I draft a proper document, had everybody sign their name and signature, and then I forwarded that to the permanent secretary of the Ministry of Works, and I also took photos of the area to so that they can see that what I said could be substantiated. Also made sure a carbon copy was sent to the person in charge of BPL. So you can get things done. And then I got light through that area in less than 2 to 3 months. Wow. And you had members of parliament that was there, did not get it done, man. What I'm saying is that persons need to organize themselves and understand that people have power, but you got to be united. You got to come together for the common good and see the good in what the person is trying to convey to you and see the wisdom in it. And so they got light after some 8-9 years through there with no light. So everything, and I'm not a member of parliament. I went to ask them to endorse somebody. They asked me, why are you doing that? You should be running. You got something done. You are not a member of parliament. Ordinary citizen, you can get it done. You've got to have the ability to organize and get people to see what it is that you're trying to achieve and get people on the same page. Once you do that, you can get anything done, man.
Thank you, Mr. Carla. You got to organize yourself.
Great call.
I wonder why people on Over the Hill are not organizing themselves. Why are they accepting the token from the MP and saying, this is good? What is for? What constituency this is?
My constituency.
No, here, where this Guardian is. I forget what constituency is.
That's a good question.
Where what is the name? The name just gone. Anyway, we need to find what the constituency is, because there are some challenges here, but we look like we want the MP to be our salvation, our savior. Let's go to this caller before we go. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Hey, CA.
Hey.
That call, like what that caller was just talking about, right? That's how we have roads inside our community right now. Right, we inside this community, we are led by myself. We got the draft of a petition, right? And we did the exact same thing, all right? Because we was we couldn't clean cars, we couldn't clean our homes because of the muck and the dust, right? And you wouldn't believe it, right? Because of me taking that action, right, in the whole entire area, right? Only in the front of my house is where the water actually settles today.
Wow!
Everybody, wow. I mean, I really my corner is the only place in the whole entire. I wouldn't call those communities because people would know, right? But that is they don't. That's the only place the water settles, right? But I just wanted to also touch on the fact that you know, the permanent secretaries of I mean, having experience working in government, permanent secretaries, right? Today, ain't like the permanent secretaries back in the Selinden and even some parts of Hubert Ingraham era, right? The permanent secretaries today, they are handpicked by politicians, and because of that fact, they don't have no voice, and that's what killing all of the power of the Commonwealth, in my view, because why? People need to be able to express what they have to do based on their job description, and permanent secretaries are not allowed to do exactly what you're suggesting simply because they are not, that is just not allowed.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Have a nice day.
I was reminded that this constituency is Fort Charlotte, and the MP is Alfred Stairs. We need to put fire on his feet, because this part of this community challenge. And we need the callers call and say how they lobbying. But we need more Bahamians to lobby and agitate and demand change, right?
I think the callers were, especially on speaking about organization, the last two callers have been spot on. We saw that boating community organize against the Bahamas.
They still lobbying against the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And then how Bahamas joined them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was, to me, that was what I wanted to do for the Munnings Road area. It's like, we needed to organize. And these two callers came in and spoke on how they organized for their communities. And I don't think Bahamas do it because we don't know how. And these gentlemen, again, the reason why your show is important, these gentlemen just came on and explained how they gave a blueprint of how they organized for their communities. Those two phone calls were so important for people to hear because I didn't know what was the blueprint. I didn't know what the starting point was. And both of those men said, you start a petition. You write to who to get it done. You get the signatures and you move forward.
Mason Edition needs someone to lobby because that's a gold mine in terms of tourism and the original or old Nassau, like you said before. Yeah. So this text says Nassau is very filthy. Nassau is very filthy in most areas. I even seen some coconut guys throwing coconut sparks at the back of where they sell the coconut water lots. Some people just become so nasty, man. That's what that text said. I mean, we have some challenges.
Yes.
But we now need people to police and help and assist government in moving forward. It can't be just the government,
no.
Right? It needs people power. And we can't just be complaining in terms of, I call the radio station or I write the newspaper. You need to put your shoulder to the wheel. You need to go and volunteer. You need to go to the meetings. You need to speak to your parliamentarian. You need to do cleanup drives, right? You need to find out ways on how you can implement systems. But if you're not doing that and say you're going to sit there and just complain, you're now a part of the problem.
I went to Junkanoo for the first time in some years, first time in over a decade, and enjoyed myself immensely. Junkanoo had challenges. We had huge gaps. But would I do it again next year? Absolutely. I love my culture. I love my country. I enjoyed myself. But I won't throw out the baby with the bathwater because there were challenges. It was still a great parade. It was still fun to see old faces, to have the camaraderie with going back and forth with the Valley of the Saxons, with random Bahamians that I didn't know. And that's the joy I still have of my country when I come back home. Yes, we do have challenges. And like I'll reiterate for about the fourth time, that's the reason why we have these shows, and this is very important for us to express our ideas and our concepts and to give great information like some of these callers did today.
Yeah. It's now 11:58, right? I enjoyed the show. I'm going to invite you back again as we traverse through the Bahamas, talking about issues, talking about the differences, talking about what we can do, right? Point out things that we need to lobby for. Like I said, there is a community under the bridge, right on Bay.
Yeah.
That is a powder keg waiting to explode. Someone in the community, the church, the civic organizations, the government, need to go and fix it before that explodes. I believe, because you know, in Bay Street, they said they're going to make a number of green spaces on Bay. That was the plan. They can't put any green spaces on Bay. Wow. They put some shrubberies and whatever it is, but it's not a green space where you can come and sit down and park. Yeah. And the reason why they can't put any shrubbery is because of the people who live on Bay Street.
Yeah.
We're afraid that Joneses will come and take up occupancy.
And I've even
control the whole Bay, make a place old rank.
Starting from the old Victoria Hotel, they're even right in front of the U.S. Embassy.
They're everywhere. They people sleeping in front of the U.S. Embassy now.
Yes.
Right now, you go there and say, okay, this is a new normal, right? They're people with mental illness walking through Bay Street every day on the beach back and forth. We watching them, but nobody is saying, let me stop and say, come. Let me help you.
Yeah.
They just run them from one end to the next end to the next end, but they're still there. We need to fix that. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Donato Misik. We'll see how your schedule is next week to see if it's possible to come on and talk some more, right? As we talk about issues in the Bahamas, talk about the way of life in the Bahamas. Hopefully I call some senior people regarding the permanent secretaries. Let's see if that comes true.
And Mr. Sayers, I know Mr. Sayers is a good man. I feel he'll come on the show.
Fix Port Charlotte. Yeah. That's what it is. Fix Port Charlotte. You know, it's a dump. Anyway, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Sebastian to spend some more of his money. Yeah? And Rick Fox need a big donate a pool to Kingswick. I need to just lobby all these things.
It's been
30, 40 years they've been doing fundraiser for that pool.
Cookout
and stuff. And they ain't get a pool yet. Let Rick Fox do it. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.